Far back in the mists of ancient time, in the great and glorious days of the former Galactic Empire, life was wild, rich, and on the whole tax-free. Mighty starships plied their way between exotic suns, seeking adventure and reward amongst the furthest reaches of galactic space. In those days, men were real men, women were real women, and small furry creatures from Alpha Centauri were real small furry creatures from Alpha Centauri. And all dared to brave unknown terrors, to do mighty deeds, to boldly split infinitives that no man had split before. And thus was the Empire forged. Many men, of course, became extremely rich. But this was perfectly natural and nothing to be ashamed of, because no one was really poor, at least no one worth speaking of. And for these extremely rich merchants, life eventually became rather dull, and it seemed that none of the worlds they settled on was entirely satisfactory. Either the climate wasn't quite right in the later part of the afternoon, or the day was half an hour too long, or the sea was just the wrong shade of pink. And thus were created the conditions for a staggering new form of industry: custom-made luxury planet building. The home of this industry was the planet Magrathea, where vast hyperspatial engineering works were constructed to suck matter through white holes in space and form it into dream planets, lovingly made to meet the exacting standards that the galaxy's richest men had naturally come to expect. And so successful was this venture that very soon Magrathea itself soon became the richest planet of all time, and the rest of the galaxy was reduced to abject poverty. And so the system broke down. The Empire collapsed, and a long, sullen silence settled over the galaxy, disturbed only by the pen scratchings of scholars as they labored into the night over smug little treatises on the value of a planned political economy. Magrathea itself disappeared, and its memory soon passed into the obscurity of legend. In these enlightened days, of course, no one believes a word of it.
I'm sorry, Zaphod, I just don't believe a word of it.
Listen to me, Ford, I've found it. I swear I've found it.
Look, Magrathea is a myth, a fairy story. It's what parents tell their kids about at night if they want them to grow up to become economists, and...
And we are currently in orbit around it.
Zaphod, I can't help what you may personally be in orbit around, but this ship...
Computer...
Oh, no.
Hi there, this is Eddie, your shipboard computer, and I'm feeling just great, guys. And I know I'm just going to get a bundle of kicks out of any program you care to run through me.
Is this necessary?
Computer, tell us again what our current trajectory is.
A real pleasure, fella. We are currently in orbit at an altitude of 300 miles... around the legendary planet of Magrathea. Golly.
Proving nothing. I wouldn't trust that computer to speak my weight.
I can do that for you, sure.
No, thank you.
I can even work out your personality problems to 10 decimal places, if it'll help.
Zaphod, we should have dawn coming up at any minute now on the planet, whatever it turns out to be.
Okay. Let's just take a look at it. Computer?
Hi there, what can I do?
Just shut up and give us external vision on the monitors.
Trillium.
Yes, Arthur.
I feel I may be missing the point of something.
Well, it's just that Magrathea is supposed to be this legendary planet from way back, which no one seriously believes in. Bit like Atlantis, really. Except that the legends say the Magratheans used to manufacture planets.
No, I'm sorry, Zaphod. It looks very pretty on the screen, but I refuse to believe it's Magrathea.
The suspense is killing me. Is there any tea on this spaceship?
Stress and nervous tension are now serious social problems in all parts of the galaxy. And it is in order that this situation should not be exacerbated that the following facts will now be revealed in advance. The planet in question is, in fact, Magrathea. The deadly missile attack shortly to be launched by an ancient and automatic defense system will merely result in the bruising of someone's upper arm and the untimely creation and sudden demise of an innocent sperm whale and a bowl of petunias. In order that some sense of mystery should still be preserved, no revelation will yet be made concerning whose upper arm has been bruised. This fact may safely be made the subject of suspense, since it is of no significance whatsoever. None of this, of course, is known to the crew of the starship Heart of Gold.
Well, even supposing it is Magrathea.
It is.
Which it isn't. What do you want with it anyway?
Oh, the usual. Fame, money, you know.
But it just looks like a dead planet.
Greetings,
what's that?
Computer?
Hi there.
What is it?
Oh, just some 5-million-year-old tape recording that's being broadcast at us.
This is a recorded announcement, as I'm afraid we're all out at the moment. The Commercial Council of Magrathea thanks you for your esteemed
visit.
Okay.
And regrets that the entire planet is temporarily closed for business. Thank you. If you would like to leave your name and the address of a planet where you could be contacted, kindly speak when you hear the tone.
They want to get rid of us. What do we do?
It's just a recording. Keep going. Got that computer?
I got it.
We would like to assure you that as soon as our business is resumed, announcements will be made in all fashionable magazines and color supplements, and clients will once again be able to select from all that's best in contemporary geography. Meanwhile, we thank our clients for their kind interest and would ask them to leave now.
Well, I suppose we'd better be going then, hadn't we?
Shh, shh. There's absolutely nothing to be worried about.
Then why is everyone so tense?
They're just interested. We keep going.
It is most gratifying that your enthusiasm for our planet continues unabated, and so we would like to assure you that the guided missiles currently converging with your ship are part of a special service we extend to all of our most enthusiastic clients, that the fully armed nuclear warheads are, of course, merely a courtesy detail. We look forward to your custom in future lives. Thank you.
If that's their sales pitch, what must it be like in the complaints department?
Hey, this is terrific. It means we really must be onto something if they're trying to kill us.
Terrific?
You mean there is someone down there after all?
No, the whole defense system must be automatic, but the question is why?
What are we going to do?
Just keep cool.
Is that all?
No, we're also going to take evasive action. Computer, what evasive action can we take?
None, I'm afraid, guys.
Or something.
There seems to be something jamming my guidance systems. Impact minus 40 seconds. Oops, sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Please call me Eddie if it'll help you relax.
Right. Look, we've got to get manual control of this ship.
Can you fly her?
No, can you?
No.
Ford?
No.
Fine, we'll do it together.
I can't either.
Yeah, I'd guess that. Computer, I want a full manual control now.
You got it. Good luck, guys. Impact minus 30 seconds.
Okay, Ford, full retro thrust and 10 degrees starboard.
We're veering too fast.
Can't hold her. She's going into a spin.
Die.
It is, of course, more or less at this point that one of our heroes sustains a slight bruise to the upper arm. This should be emphasized because, as has already been revealed, they escape otherwise completely unharmed and the deadly nuclear missiles do not eventually hit the ship. Our hero's safety is absolutely assured.
Impact minus 25 seconds, guys!
The rockets are still homing in. You can't shake them. We're going to die.
When you walk through
shut that
a
bloody computer up!
Impact minus 15 seconds!
Why doesn't anyone turn on his improbability drive thing?
Don't be silly. You can't do that.
Why not? There's nothing to lose at this stage.
Does anyone know why Arthur can't turn on the improbability drive?
Impact minus 5 seconds has been
ignoring
you guys. God bless
you. I said that anyone...
Well, I was just saying, there's this improbability drive switch here, you see, and I just...
Where are we, Trillian?
Exactly where we were, I think.
Then what happened to the missiles?
Well, according to this screen, they've just turned into a bowl of petunias and a very surprised-looking whale.
At an improbability factor of 8,767,128 to 1 against...
Did you think of that, Earthman?
Well, all I did was...
That's very good thinking, you know that. You just saved our lives.
Oh, it was nothing, really.
Oh, was it? Oh, well, forget it then. Oh. Okay, computer, take us into land.
Well, I say it was nothing. I mean, obviously it was something. I was just trying to say it's not worth making too much of a fuss about. I mean, just saving everybody's life.
Another thing that no one made too much fuss about was the fact that against all probability, a sperm whale had suddenly been called into existence some miles above the surface of an alien planet. And since this is not a naturally untenable position for a whale, this innocent creature had very little time to come to terms with its identity as a whale before it had to come to terms with suddenly not being a whale anymore. This is what it thought as it fell.
Ah, what's happening? Excuse me, who am I? Hello? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? What do I mean by who am I?
Oh, calm down, get a grip now. Oh, this is an interesting sensation.
What is it? It's a sort of yawning, tingling sensation in my... Well, I suppose I better start finding names for things if I want to make any headway in what, for the sake of what I shall call an argument, I shall call the world. So, let's call it my... stomach! So, a yawning, tingling sensation in my stomach. Good. Ooh, it's getting quite strong. And hey, what about this whistling, roaring sound going past what I'm suddenly going to call my head? That can be wind. Is that a good name? Well, it'll do. Perhaps I can find a better name for it later when I find out what it's for, because there certainly seems to be a hell of a lot of it. Hey, what's this thing? This, let's call it, tail. Yeah, tail. Hey, I can really thrash him out pretty good, can't I? Wow! Hey, doesn't seem to achieve much, but I'll probably find out what it's for later on. Now, have I built up any coherent picture of things yet? No. Oh, well, hey, this is really exciting. So much to find out about, so much to look forward to. I'm quite dizzy with anticipation. Or is it the wind? Hey, there really is a lot of that now, isn't there? And wow, what's this thing coming towards me very fast? Very, very fast. So big and flat and wide. It needs a big, wide-sounding sort of word like round, ground. That's it. Ground. I wonder if it'll be friends with me.
Curiously enough, the only thing that went through the mind of the bowl of petunias as it fell was, oh no, not again. Many people have speculated that if we knew exactly why the bowl of petunias had thought that, we would know a lot more about the nature of the universe than we do now. Similarly, a lot of people might have found life a great deal less puzzling if it had been generally realized that human beings were only the third most intelligent life forms on the planet Earth, instead of, as was generally thought by most independent observers, the second. The significance of this fact will become clear to Arthur Dent some 4 hours and 37 minutes after the starship has landed on the planet Magrathea, or 4 hours and 32 minutes after Trillian says, "Are we taking this robot?"
Are we taking this robot?
Don't feel you have to take any notice of me, please.
Oh, Marvin, the paranoid android. Yeah, we'll take him. How you doing, Metal Man?
Oh, fine.
Good.
If you happen to like being me, which personally I don't.
Terrific. Okay, everybody, let's go.
Good afternoon, boys.
What's that?
Oh, that's just the computer. I discovered it had an emergency backup personality, so I plugged it in. Can't be worse, can it?
Now, this is going to be your first day on a strange planet, so I want you all wrapped up snug and warm and no playing with any naughty bug-eyed monsters.
Can't be worse.
I think we'd be better off with a slide rule.
Right, who said that?
Will you open up this exit hatch, please, computer?
Not until whoever said that opens up.
Oh,
oh
no.
Come on.
Computer.
I'm waiting. I can wait all day if necessary.
Hey, computer. If you don't open that exit hatch pretty damn pronto, I might find a very large axe to reprogram you with, okay?
See this relationship as something we're all going to have to work at.
Thank you. Let's go.
It'll all end in tears, I know it.
It's a bit of a dump.
Ford, do you realize that robot can hum like Pink Floyd?
But I found what I was after. A passageway leading down into the interior of the planet.
Yeah?
And that's where we have to go. Where no organic life form has trod these 5 million years.
into the very depths of time itself.
Can it, Marvin?
Well, come on, if we're going.
Right. Hey, Earthman.
Arthur.
Could you sort of keep the robot with you and guard this end of the passageway, okay?
Guard? What from? You just said there's no one here.
Yeah, well, just for safety, okay?
Whose? Yours or mine?
Good lad. Okay, here we go.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Well, I hope you all have a really miserable time.
Don't worry, they will.
Why don't you flip through the book whilst you're waiting?
What book?
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, that thing.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a very unevenly edited book and contains many passages which simply seemed to its editors like a good idea at the time. One of these supposedly relates the experiences of one Vit Vujagig, a quiet young student at the University of Maximegalon who pursued a brilliant academic career studying ancient philology, transformational ethics, and the wave harmonic theory of historical perception. And then, after a night of drinking pan-galactic gargle blasters with Zaphod Beeblebrox, became increasingly obsessed with the problem of what had happened to all the biros he'd bought over the past few years. There followed a long period of painstaking research, during which he visited all the major centers of biro loss throughout the galaxy, and eventually came up with a quaint little theory which quite caught the public imagination at the time. Somewhere in the cosmos, he said, along with all the planets inhabited by humanoids, reptiloids, fishoids, walking treoids, and superintelligent shades of the color blue, there was also a planet entirely given over to biro life forms. And it was to this planet that unattended biros would make their way, slipping quietly through wormholes in space, to a world where they knew they could enjoy a uniquely biroid lifestyle, responding to highly biro-orientated stimuli, in fact, leading the biro equivalent of the good life. And as theories go, this was all very fine and pleasant, until Vit Vujagig suddenly claimed to have found this planet, and who have worked there for a while driving a limousine for a family of cheap green retractables. Whereupon he was taken away, locked up, wrote a book, and was finally sent into tax exile, which is the usual fate reserved for those who are determined to make a fool of themselves in public. When one day an expedition was sent to the spatial coordinates that Vujagig had claimed for this planet, they discovered only a small asteroid inhabited by a solitary old man who claimed repeatedly that nothing was true, though he was later discovered to be lying. There did, however, remain the question both of the mysterious 60,000 Altarian dollars paid yearly into his bank account and, of course, of Zaphod Beeblebrox's highly profitable second-hand biro business. Meanwhile, on the surface of Magrathea...
Night's falling. Look, robot, the stars are coming out.
I know. Wretched, isn't it?
But that sunset, I've never seen anything like it in my wildest dreams. The two suns, it was like mountains of fire boiling into space.
I've seen it, it's rubbish.
We only ever had the one sun at home. I came from a planet called Earth, you know.
I know, you keep going on about it, it sounds awful.
Oh no, it was a beautiful place.
Did it have oceans?
Oh yes, great wide rolling blue oceans.
Can't bear oceans.
Tell me, do you get on well with other robots?
Hate them. Where are you going?
I think I'll just take a short walk.
Don't blame you.
Good evening. Do you choose a cold night to visit our dead planet? My name is not important.
You startled me.
Do not be alarmed. I will not harm you.
But you shot at us. There were missiles.
Merely an automatic system. Ancient computers, ranged in the long caves deep in the bowels of the planet, tick away the dark millennia. I think they take the occasional pot shot to relieve the monotony. I'm a great fan of science, you know.
Really?
Oh, yes. You seem ill at ease.
Well, no disrespect, but I gathered you were all dead.
Dead? No. We have but slept.
Ah, slept.
Yes, through the economic recession, you see.
What?
Well, 5 million years ago, the galactic economy collapsed, and seeing that custom-built planets as something of a luxury commodity. You see, you know we built planets, do you?
Yes, I sort of gathered.
Fascinating trade. Doing the coastlines was always my favourite. Used to have endless fun doing all the little fiddly bits in fjords. So, anyway, the recession. Yes, we decided to sleep through it.
Sleep through it?
Yes. Our computers were index-linked to the galactic stock market prices, you see, and they were programmed to revive us when everyone had rebuilt the economy enough to afford our rather expensive services again.
Good God, that's a pretty unethical way to behave, isn't it?
Is it? I'm sorry, I'm a bit out of touch. Now, you must come with me. Great things are afoot. You must come now, or you will be late.
Late? What for?
What is your name, human?
Dent. Arthur Dent.
Late, as in the late Dent Arthur Dent. It's a sort of threat, you see. Never been terribly good at them myself, but I'm told they can be terribly effective. Come, we must go. Even now, our race is being revived from its 5-million-year-old slumber.
Excuse me, what is your name, by the way?
My name? My name is Slarty Bartfast.
I beg your pardon.
Slarty Bartfast.
Bartfast.
I said it wasn't important. Come.
It is an important and popular fact that things are not always what they seem. For instance, on the planet Earth, man had always assumed that he was more intelligent than dolphins because he had achieved so much. The wheel, New York, wars, and so on. But conversely, the dolphins believed themselves to be more intelligent than man for precisely the same reasons. Curiously enough, the dolphins had long known of the impending demolition of the Earth and had made many attempts to alert mankind to the danger. But most of their communications were interpreted as amusing attempts to punch footballs or whistle for titbits. So they eventually gave up and left the Earth by their own means shortly before the Vogons arrived. The last ever dolphin message was misinterpreted as a surprisingly sophisticated attempt to do a double backward somersault through a hoop whilst whistling the Star Spangled Banner. In fact, the message was this: "So long and thanks for all the fish." In fact, there was only one species on the planet more intelligent than dolphins, and they spent a lot of their time in behavioral research laboratories running round inside wheels and mazes, conducting frighteningly elegant and subtle experiments on man.
Earthman, we are now deep in the heart of Magnathia. I should warn you that the chamber we are about to be projected into does not literally exist within our planet. It is simply the gateway into a vast tract of hyperspace. It may disturb you.
Oh.
It scares the willies out of me. Here we go. Welcome to our factory floor. This is where we make most of our planets, you see. The planet forges of Magrathea. We have been awakened to perform just one extraordinary commission. There, in the distance before us.
My God, the Earth!